Today on Real Life Radio.
The will of God is that for you and I, God has designed a life for you and I to live. This is wonderful. If you and I will embrace the will of God in our lives, you and I will not become prodigals.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Hey, before we get into today's message, we're very excited to announce that we are launching a streaming service. It's called the Real Life Network. It's like Netflix or Hulu, but it's based on Christian and conservative content. It's totally free, so sign up at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message called Christian Come Home, Part 2. You know, this series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now as we continue in chapter 15, we'll consider how God really does provide all that we need, and He never limits His love towards us. You see, when it comes to God, we are His creation, and He loves us like a father loves his children. But our sin has separated us from Him. It's why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, so that we can be reconciled with Him. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that God's plan has always included us, and His mercy towards us has always been a part of that plan. God wants us to embrace our salvation through Jesus so we can never again be separated from Him. Now, with his message called Christian Come Home, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Father, we ask that your word would go forth through our hearts. Now we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 15. And we are looking at the life of the prodigal son. It's turned into a little mini series. We're going to be looking at this man's life and the events of his life, even though he is really a creation. He's not an actual person, you know. He's a creation in the story that Jesus is announcing in a parabolic teaching regarding God's love for the lost. Yes, sure, absolutely. But also God's love and commitment to those who are his kids. And it's broadcasted, it's made aware by what is known as the prodigal son parable. And this little mini series that we've got going on is entitled Christian Come Home. And so through our study, we're talking about, kind of pretending really, that this young man's name is Christian. And the announcement is being made, Christian, come home. And the invitation to come back home, Christian, is going out in many ways. By love, pleading, come back. By circumstances of life, come back. By the hardships of life, Christian, come home. By all various things going on in the life of this man, who is a type or a symbol of the believer, we are hearing the call, the invitation to come back to Christ. It's good to us, good for us, I should say, to remember what exactly is going on and what generated this parabolic series of teachings. And that is that Jesus was calling those in Luke 14 for the believer to come and be a disciple. He's inviting them, come and follow me. And the Bible says there that in Luke 14 that they began to look at him and listen and be encouraged, but the scribes and Pharisees began to be jealous and upset. They began to attack Jesus. Jesus swung open the gates, as it were, the heart of God, inviting people to come in. And they were upset at that. The religious snobs, the self-righteous ones, they began to criticize Jesus. And they began to say, look at him. He eats with publicans and sinners. He hangs out with tax collectors. In other words, stay away from him. You'll get tainted by that nasty crowd that he traffics with. The awesome thing about Jesus is that he hangs out with people not to become like them, but they might become like him. He's not affected by our sin. What comes out of his heart is that he gets near you and I and begins to affect us with his righteousness. And his righteousness is not some mean, critical, judgmental, arrogant rule. His righteousness is inviting us to come and know him personally, to be loved by God. And so I'm greatly encouraged that he hangs out with common people, says the Bible. So this is what we know so far. We started this a week or two ago in Luke 15:11, and we'll just come down today. We'll cover verses 14 to 16. As you can see, we're going through breakneck speed in this study. It says there in verse 11, then Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. That is all that the father owned. He liquidated, and it was a lot. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed into a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Now here's our text for today, verse 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want or be in need. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him, that is the citizen, sent him, the son, into his fields to feed pigs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, for no one gave him anything. Church, very quickly, building upon what we know from our previous study, this is what's happened. In verses 11 and 12, when we're talking about the Christian to come home, we recognize this, that all has been provided for. We studied that in detail. All's been provided for three ways. His love has never been limited towards you, Christian. You need to come back home. God's love is not retracted from your life, so come back. Secondly, his plan has always included you. You were born again into the family of God, Christian, and God has a wonderful plan for your life, and his plan has always included you, but your departure from God has short-circuited that, I hope only for a while. I hope only up until today. Thirdly, we saw that his desire has been for you. The Bible says that God is our Father and that he looks as a father upon his children and he pities those who fear him. God doesn't pity you and I like we're some sort of a pathetic lunatic, though most of us, I know I am. But he looks at us with incredible compassion. And so, Christian, you need to come home. All has been provided for. Secondly, in verse 13, we found this out, that mercy has been extended. God's mercy is always being extended, even in the presence of sin. As a Christian, you can be wayward from God. We call it in Christianity, from the Bible, the term is backslidden. You're not walking with God. You are, in fact, walking away from God. You are sliding back. Even in the presence of sin, God is with you. We saw this, that even though you've wandered far from God, Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's an act of mercy. And last time we saw this, his mercy has been extended even if you've made dumb decisions in your life. The tendency for us is when we come to the realization that we've made these ridiculous decisions and gotten ourselves in a mess, that we kind of just coil up or go back into the fetal position and think there's no hope. Not so. God extends mercy even in the fact that we have made dumb decisions. And then thirdly, last time we looked at this, conviction. I love this. Conviction has been upon you if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian and you're not walking with God, God is convicting you. And it's a horrible feeling. But listen, getting spanked by your dad is a horrible feeling too. But it's also proof positive that that's your dad. The Bible says that God does not discipline any of his own kids, any of kids who are not his. He only disciplines his own children. No one walks around and slaps other people's kids. You do that, you're going to get A, beat up, and then taken to jail. Okay? No, God, if you're his child, he will spank you in your disobedience. He is good at it. Man, I tell you what, people will say, I don't know if God's ever spoken to me. A Christian will say, I don't know if I've ever heard God's voice. Are you kidding me? You need to slow down and think for a moment. Because all you have to do is think of doing something wrong. Or think a bad thought. Or do a bad thing. And I guarantee you, you at that moment will not be doubting if God speaks to you. You will hear him loud and clear. Why? Because his conviction comes upon you. And we saw it in three ways as well. Because you've been doing the wrong thing, God has been speaking to you. He's been calling you to get away from that thing because you've been going the wrong places. You've been wandering off into things where God's kids ought not to be. If you were thirsty, you get a bottle of water from the grocery store. You don't get a bottle of water from the local bar if you have a drinking problem. You don't do that. You don't go to the wrong places. God will convict us. And then we saw also that God's conviction is upon us if we're living the wrong life. All of that now goes into the second part of this message. Christian, come home, verse 14. Why? Challenging times will come to you. Will you write it down? You might say, Jack, I'm doing great with the Lord. Well, then write it down for your friend. Get this for your friend. All of us know Christians. My goodness, think of this. Oh, man. Think of this. All the Christians that you and I know who are not walking with God, what if they decided to show up to a church on Sunday morning? There's not enough churches to contain them all. Think about the Christians who are not walking with God. They're backslidden. They're falling away from God. Oh my goodness. Imagine if they heard the invitation of the Lord, come on back. By the way, if you're listening right now, you need to come back because the Lord's coming back. You ought to come back before the Lord comes back. In that order, quickly hurry up, will you? Challenging times will come. Number one, this way, life lived away from the Lord brings poverty. I'm not talking about financial poverty, although that could happen. I'm talking about poverty of your soul. Look at verse 14. But when he had spent all, this young guy had all of the inheritance that came to him. And remember, he went out living and, in fact, look at verse 13 from last time our study together. He journeyed into a far country and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Everybody loved this guy while he was buying the drinks. But now that money well has run out and he is messed up. He spent all. Listen, when you're not walking with God and you're walking in the world and you have bucks, you've got friends. Man, for those of you who have money, I pity people who have money. How do you know that people around you love you or they love your money? That'd be pretty terrifying, don't you think? Do they really like you? What if you're dating some guy or some girl and you've got the bucks? How do you know that they love you? How do you know that they care? This guy spends all of his money. He's having all of this prodigal living, just yucking it up in all the little places, and now he's out of money. Can you imagine what the world, you know what the world does when you don't have any money? They don't talk to you anymore. You are subhuman. Challenging times will come to you, and poverty often befalls us. The picture of this young man is that he's run away from the will of God. I'm going to ask you to jot that down, that the will of God is this. The will of God is this, that the Lord has designed for you and I a life to be lived. The will of God is that for you and I, God has designed a life for you and I to live. This is wonderful. If you and I will embrace the will of God in our lives, you and I will not become prodigals. The will of God is good for you. It's good for me. It's the best. When we do not walk in the will of God and go after our own will, that's the kind of stuff that happens. It may not be that incredibly horrific or posted on the news around the world, but listen, the truth of the matter is when I decide to do what Jack wants to do, then you know what? I have got to also be willing and be responsible to pay the price. And the dangerous thing is I don't want to pay any price of that because I don't want to get that stuff near me. You don't either. See, well, then why do we do such stupid things? Why do we depart from the will of God and embrace our own will? We get our eyes off of God. The prodigal son got his eyes off his father. He packs up and leaves home. We do the same thing with our hearts.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Listen, the will of God, four things that I want to give you. The will of God is the most perfect thing for you and I. Will you write that down? Write it down. It's not going to be on the screens. You got to write it down. God's will. So why should I be caring about God's will? It's the most perfect thing for you. He made you. He knows what's best for you. He only knows what's best for you. And he's got a perfect, absolute will to be lived in your life. Number two, the will of God originates from the love of God. I like that. You say, why should I lean towards the will of God for my life? Number one, it's originated in love. So he's got a perfect plan. It's originated in love. Thirdly, the will of God accomplishes the plans of God in my life. You guys, there's no greater life to live than to live the plan of God for your life. You'll be so excited, you won't be able to keep up with God. Christianity, lived through the will of God, is anything but boring, anything but sleepy. God is on the move. He is doing things, and his will accomplishes his plans. Fourthly, the will of God is in opposition to the will of this world. This world says one thing, God says the other. You're going to have to pick. This young man in the parable picked the way of the world. The Bible says in Matthew 6:9, Jesus spoke, and he says, this then is how you ought to pray. Our Father in heaven, holy or hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. What's the next line? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? It's the absolute best thing you can ask for. It's very, very perfect. And it's a funny thing, guys. What is it with us as little humans? That's okay, God. I'll do my will. You can leave your will out of the picture. I'll do it. I'll take care of it. What makes us think that we can tell God to back out? We've got a better will. We've got a better love. We've got a better plan. We've got a better purpose. We've got a better origination. We don't. Aren't we funny? I mean, we can say it's funny when we're not hurting. But maybe you're hurting today because these things are saying, yeah, that's me. Last week, we quoted this verse. It bears repeating. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right to a man. That's his will. But that way ends in death, the Bible warns. Secondly, challenging times will come to you, Christian who's wandered far from home. Because listen, life lived away from the Lord brings uncertainty. Uncertainty. This is painful, but it's almost comical, but it's painful. It says there arose a famine in the land, severe famine, and he began to be in need. Not only does he run out of money, but there's nothing, even if you had the money, there's nothing to buy. Interesting, huh? You can't eat money. He's out of money, but he's out of food. He's out of provision. There's a judgment in the story upon wherever the guy goes. Now, I know this message may not pertain to anyone sitting here right now. Maybe someone's tuning in. I don't know. But think of this. You've wandered far from God. Your money's all run out. You're no better. In fact, you're worse off. You're hurting. And everything's drying up. There's no more business. It's trickling away. You haven't picked up your Bible in so long. You've avoided God. And it's brought about this uncertainty. Life lived away from the Lord brings about uncertainty. It's almost that the man is in a paranoid state if you think about it. The Lord may not engineer our worldly ventures, but he will certainly use them, and he'll use them by way of hardships. Hardships. If we won't wake up to the Lord in gentle ways, he'll use hardships. C.S. Lewis called it severe mercy. Isn't that a tremendous term? We often pray that way when somebody says, Pastor Jack, my wife left me and she's running away with somebody, or my boss wants to destroy me. I'm the best employee and he doesn't like me. He wants to destroy me. Listen, we pray like this. Father, we're just asking you now to intervene in this situation with severe mercy, Lord. See, what is severe mercy? That means letting God be God. His absolute heart is perfect. He loves that wicked boss of yours more than anybody in the whole world. He loves him. But God also knows exactly to what point that wicked boss needs to be pushed to where he gives up to Jesus. Remember when we were little kids, you'd wrestle with somebody and you'd grab their arm and you would say what? Uncle. Exactly. Say uncle. I don't know where that came from. That's weird. I'm not going to let you go until you say uncle. God grabs your arm, begins to bend your arm, and things begin to hurt. Oh, man, ow. Oh, look at this. Everything's falling apart everywhere I go. Oh, no. And you'll hold out. Some people will hold out for the longest time. And they're just, hey, nope. And God says, just say Jesus. Just say Jesus. But when you don't do that, and leading up to that point, there's a great, great bit of uncertainty. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, and this is why it's so. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20 that you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which belongs to God. That's why you're so miserable. You belong to God. I had someone in my office this week, and she said, I don't think I'm a Christian anymore. Pressures in my life caused me to do this, and I don't think I'm a Christian. And I literally went, you're funny. And she goes, what? I said, if you were not a Christian, you wouldn't be in my office right now caring if you were a Christian. You hurt the Lord's feelings. You're freaking out about it. I said, young lady, your heart is as tender as all of our hearts need to be. Walking so close to the Lord that if you offend the Lord, it feels like you're 1,000 miles from the Lord. But you're not, because you wouldn't care. This person here in the parable, his life, because he's wayward from God, is filled with uncertainty. The one of the greatest pictures of uncertainty, you got to see it. I could put it on the screens right now. I don't have it. I wish I did. I could put it on the screens without any sound, and you could watch it, and you would see what uncertainty looks like because you go to the wrong places, or you do the wrong things, or you've wandered far from God. It is, if you've ever seen it, if you haven't, we need to do it on a Sunday morning. And that is, we need to show the adventures of Winnie the Pooh. The adventures of Winnie the Pooh. When Winnie the Pooh goes into the 100-acre wood, he wasn't supposed to. He's following Tigger. He gets in there, and Tigger's just crazy. Tigger's too crazy to care about anything, so he's happy all the time. Winnie the Pooh gets so deep into the 100-acre wood, then the sun goes down. Then it starts to get pockets of fog here and there along the way, and now Pooh is lost. And what happens is a cricket starts making a cricket sound, and Pooh jumps. And then a frog begins to croak, and he's jumping, and his eyes are huge, and every direction he goes, it's, oh no, oh bother. He's freaking out. Why? Because he's filled with uncertainty. A person who's away from Jesus, everything is a setup. It's a conspiracy. They don't like me. Oh no, my boss is after me. Oh no, what is it? There's the pastor in the grocery store. Don't go to this store. Go somewhere else. I see that all the time. I have my cart going along. I see people with their carts. So then I get my cart, and it's... Uncertainty will do that. Where does that come from? You're not confident. You're not walking with Jesus. You're so vulnerable. You're terrified. You know you're not walking with God. And so everything is almost a paranoid state to you. Thirdly, under this point, challenging times will come to you, Christian. Verse 14 teaches us that he began to be in need, that his life lived away from the Lord brings regret. Man, is this not true, regret? Life lived away from God. Listen, this is very cool. I wish I could say I made this up, but I read it. Some people who have been, say, for example, Christians for 30 years, the question that Dwight L. Moody asked is, as a Christian for 30 years, do you have 30 years of experience as a Christian? Or do you have 1 year experience as a Christian for the last 30 years? Do you know what that's called? Shallow. How long have you been a Christian? 30 years. Came to the Lord whenever. Way back. Okay, great. Wow, you know what you're saying? Oh, I came to Jesus when I was a kid. Oh my goodness. Then you know what? We should be following your example. Unless you've been backslidden, which means you have about 1 or 2 years experience with Christ, and it's just been on a repeat for the last 30 years. Your life, my life, should be growing day by day, moment by moment with the Lord. And where you and I are at right now today, this is cool. It'd be awesome. We could almost plant a spiritual GPS right here in our hearts. And then 365 days from today, we ought to be able to say, man, I've grown this year since. Look where we've gone with Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Christian Come Home, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Miracles. The word itself might bring up controversy in your own mind, but did you know that America's history is full of miracles? Are you aware of past crises when America's fate hung in the balance? Our country is rich in miraculous tales of answered prayer. So you're going to love our current featured resource. It's called Miracles in American History, 32 Amazing Stories of Answered Prayer. It's by Susie Federer. Inside its pages, you'll discover real-life struggles that the history books never really told you about. Divine protection in the middle of desperate circumstances from America's past. Men and women rising up with faith, and how situations were miraculously turned around. 32 captivating but little-known stories from the French and Indian War, the American Revolution, the War of 1812, the Civil War, World Wars I and II, and history up through Apollo 13. Learn the rest of the story of how people prayed, challenged, and inspired the nation, and how disaster was supernaturally averted. You are sure to get inspired as you uncover miracles in American history, 32 Amazing Stories of Answered Prayer by Susie Federer. It's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.